back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively up on the holidays. I'm having my final Maryland Crab Cake tour stop at Costa, celebrating 30 years with lots of friends. And, you know, you can't come every week and hang out and have crab cakes, but Leonard Raskin's had some fun with us here in the fall. Been a little bit more fun than the football has been lately. He joins us now. And, you know, I got the shirt out, and I've got a whole professional thing going on now with the new set and the new studio and the thing that I'm doing. I have like a closet where I'm hanging stuff now. So I promise not to sleep in your shirt anymore from last week, man.
It's all good.
Hey. It's really comfortable. It's soft. I like this one. This one's a nice one. Yeah.
There you go. I got the same thing going today. We're matching
up. God, we nerded out. We look like we're in Greece or something, or West Side Story or something.
That's it. You know? That's it. The new woke production.
Well, so I could say it's purple, but it's more like a periwinkle here at this point.
Yeah, it's not. I just threw it on this morning and said, I think if he's wearing it, we'll be twins. So be it.
You still have me wondering what Garnet and Scarlet and all that stuff was from last week's show.
All that. Yeah. The Ravens have hurt us 2 weeks. I'm troubled. I watch some of the, not post game, but the talking sports heads talking about why the heck Harbaugh went for two when he should have gone for one, and then they could have gone for two later and not needed nine. And wow, how about the fact that Lamar went down? And I also thought, because I'm not a referee in the league, that you're not supposed to hit the quarterback in the legs. But I guess they say if you're out of the pocket, that doesn't apply anymore. So since he was being chased and he ran out of the pocket and they tackled him on his legs, that's not a penalty. It's just, this league is so weird. But man, 2 weeks, so close, and against two division rivals, it's tough. It's going to be hard to come out ahead. I thought for sure when we spoke last week that Cleveland was a win for us. And then Lamar goes down, and Huntley, he played a good game. Kid played a good game, but man, it's just,
well, we've seen a little bit too much of Huntley, right, the last month at this point.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because, like, I was with
my son. Maybe it's the sustainability of Lamar running the ball.
Yeah, my son and I never talked football, right, ever. And we were together on Tuesday night, and we're just doing family stuff. My wife's in New Hampshire with her family. We're moving. You know, all this stuff's going on. So it's a very, very active time in the Aparicio household right now.
Sure.
Thankfully, and in a good way. And, like, spirits are high, and all the Christmas songs are playing, and we're digging it and singing Bing, and we're having a good time. But, you know, we started talking some football, and – like, just had a football conversation. Like, we rarely do this, right? Because he knows I do this professionally. I am sort of the talking head 26 years into this. And he said, Dad, they're, like, in first place. They're, like, you know, like, you can't be like that when you're in first place. You're 8-5. This is, like, it's not the sky. Like, if Lamar gets upright and they walk into the playoffs and they win a game on the road and Kansas City loses in the first round because Mahomes gets COVID. And, I mean, and then the COVID thing, right? Like, half the league has COVID this week.
Lots of COVID. 75 players on the you can't play list. I thought everybody in the league was vaxxed up. Maybe I missed that memo. I don't know.
Can I have some fun with you right now? Because I know you from, like, you and I went to a casino back when the team was really happening a couple of years ago, a Big Trust, and we have a fun picture with – I had just gotten back from Asia, probably was carrying COVID at that point for all I know, right? I mean, it was literally this week – two years ago, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And we're around the players and elbow bumping, and Anthony Levine, who I like a ton. I always have liked him ever since he introduced himself to me in the funniest way in the cafeteria when I was sitting with Joe Flacco, like, hey, I'm nobody, but I'm going to be somebody. And he sat down with us, and he was the funniest guy. And I'm like, who the hell is that guy? And then 15 years later, he's going to be – maybe not Ring of Honor, but Ring of Pretty Good. He's got a ring.
He's been around a long time, and he keeps showing up.
And a good guy, really good guy.
We had Anthony out. We had Anthony out his first year here in town to a client event. And again, like you said, he was a nobody, but he wanted to come by and meet us and speak to our clients and hang out. And we've been with him ever since. He's a great guy and does great stuff in the community. A really, really good person.
Yeah, so they're, you know, players are involved and whatnot, but this week, the last couple weeks, I'm a media member, right? So in order to go to practice outside, I have to clear protocol, and I've just decided it's not worth that for a Harbaugh press conference, right? So, like, literally, it's just not, right? And then I have to figure out, like, going to Pittsburgh, I can go there, I can be in the room with John, I have a mask, I wear a mask in the time I get to the to whatever stadium in the press box. And listen, you and I are way politically different, and that's cool.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Like, with the mask, I don't mind the mask. I'm not offended by it or whatever. I'm just speaking pragmatically here, scientifically here, just literally. I see these players out now taking pictures with fans, signing autographs with fans this week, doing the kinds of things, maybe not to the extent where we're like really having a good time like we were before the plague, right? Like literally.
Right.
But I'm seeing this happen now, and I have not spoken to a football player or been in a room with a football player in 2 years because of the protocols and stuff. But I could go to like a sports bar or an autograph signing and take a picture. Dude, it's the weirdest thing. And now these guys are getting sick in half the league, right? And the Rams played the other night, played well, and then they're all sick. I don't. It's really a tender time for the franchises, for the player association, for earning, which is important. And then for the media, which I had the greatest conversation with Mark Hyman this week. I don't know if you know who Mark Hyman is. He runs the Philip Merrill School of Journalism at the University of Maryland. And Mark, please, Leonard, I know you love the show. You like what I do here. Go listen to Mark Hyman and I, you know, jibber jab a little bit this week. Because he's running a school that, like your kid would be going to at Ohio State. If you know, like Missouri Journalism School is legendary, right? So Mark's running it now, and I've literally known him since the first night Chris Pica took me through the News American newsroom in January of 1984. And Mark Hyman was like to me a legend because he covered the Orioles. I had been reading his work. He was the beat writer for the Orioles. I read his work every, and they had just won the World 83 World Series, right? Which you're keenly familiar with. So
absolutely.
Mark and I get into this conversation about journalism, and I said, we're never going to talk to a player again. You know what I mean? Like really talk to a player again. I got admonished when I asked Lamar if running the ball 21 times was too much.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't really want real questions anymore. And they don't want real media anymore.
Does.
You know, nobody.
You know,
does.
I don't think anybody does. And I don't care right, left, center. It's really a strange time. I think journalism as an art has taken a big hit in our country in the last 6 years. I'll say maybe longer, but certainly in the last six. There's such crazy hysteria in the press that I just think things have gone to opinion a lot more than fact finding. And I think a lot more because of social media, maybe because of clicks and books, a lot of people that are in the so-called journalism world, and not everybody, but the face of it.
Well, I've been doing this for four decades one way.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? I have one way to do it is to ask questions.
But what you just said is really important.
And if you can't ask questions.
That's right. If you're not willing.
And you're also going to be strong-armed. You know what I mean? Intimidated, blackballed.
That's it.
The league does this across the board, whether it's John Gruden on one side or protecting Dan Snyder, who is one of theirs, which news came back again this week, and that ain't going away, or it's buying off. They bought off the city of St. Louis because lawyers sold it off for $900 million.
That's right. That's a ton of money, isn't it? That's a ton of money.
Stan Kroenke, baby. And now Stan's going back to his partners and saying, fellas, tip, 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 pass the hat.
Yep. Hey, they play their own. That's the whole point. You're still willing to ask questions and get the hard hit because of it. A lot of people aren't. They're softballing it, or they play the opinion game, and then they write a book, and they're trying to make money on their book and their clicks and their notoriety rather than do the news.
Well, I mean, I appreciate your support of what I do. You know what I mean? Because it really does take local people and local support. But then there's the point where, like, if they make it impossible to ask a question, don't make access to ask a question. If the guy that drops the touchdown pass is not made available, right? Or the guy that misses the kick or the guy that misses the play isn't made available, or and when made available, has one press conference a week, sort of kind of on Zoom with a mask, and sort of kind of, we're not going to let anybody in here ask tough questions, or we're going to make their lives miserable, or just make it like not any fun for them to do their job, and we can go cut grass on the weekend if we want on a Sunday instead of buying PSLs, right? There really is – we're in a different time right now, I think, for media and journalism. And it's certainly a different time to be a football player where, like, Patrick Queen hasn't had the honor of meeting me yet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, crazy.
These guys that have been around a couple of years, they're having a completely different experience about what being a player is and what the accountability is – of you blue coverage on the backside. There's nothing wrong with saying there are three guys back there. It's one of your fault. Not that we want to pin it in the media or beat you up in social media. We want to talk about it intelligently. You know what I mean? For me,
but that was
always the root of what I wanted to do as a journalist.
But that's the thing. You want to get to the answer and you want to help them be better. Other people want to get the gotcha in so that, you know, these guys have been kept in a bubble. These new players, these young guys have grown up in a college world where they're in a bubble. And now they're in the pro world and they stay in that bubble. And then somebody tweaks them a little and they get all mortally offended. Like, you're not, what are you doing? I'm such a rose. You're pricking my thorn. What's the matter with you? It's like, you know, one of the things we've never talked about, but I've been thinking about this week and I've heard a lot of talk about it. College football. You know, this transfer portal thing and how that came about versus now what it is. I mean, these guys get their feelings hurt. Thank God the pros aren't quite like college, but let's face it, OBJ thinks he's in the transfer portal. I mean, these guys in college, they get set. They don't play two games because they did something that the coach isn't happy about, and they're transferring out of the college. They're going somewhere else. So look at Beckham, right? He's with the Giants. He don't want to be with the Giants. He wants to go to Cleveland. He doesn't want to be with Cleveland. He's playing for the Rams. Now he can sell his wares in Hollywood. It's kind of, look, I want to be able to work where I want to work. I don't want to have somebody tell me where I can go and what I can do. But these guys are fighting the fight. And man, they don't want their feelings hurt. So asking a tough question to anybody these days is like you're all up in their face. You might as well be a Republican, man. You're asking hard questions. Might as well be a conservative. Conservative ask hard questions, not liberals. Liberals just play along and write their book.
It's fascinating on that side, on the liberal conservative side, that like gambling has come into this now, right? Like, so I'm with the Maryland Lottery. We've had John on and whatever. There are things like gambling and cannabis law and these things that really are liberal. We're changing laws. We're opening things up. We're doing that. But the sports gambling side of this, Leonard, that's the part of this for on both sides that we're all in on it. And then there's a referee making a call on a pass interference on 2 points or point shaving, God forbid. It doesn't take point shaving. It doesn't even take anything particularly nefarious. It could take something sort of malfeasant, or just.
My wife thinks the referees are all paid off. Not
she sounds
paid.
Like Bubba Smith paid then, off. Right?
Yeah, she thinks. We watch games and she swears these guys are tilted one way or the other. My goodness, the boy is at Ohio State. So we're watching Ohio State Duke. She swears they're making Duke calls.
It's Krzyzewski's last year, right? Like
I
saw somebody put online, you know, like they're like, we're seeing the king for the last time. So one of my friends was a cameraman on Tuesday night or whatever, and I'm like, man, I'm almost wearing Duke colors, dude. Woo.
My boy was at the Duke game when Ohio State came back from 15 down, knocked off number one. Man, and then a week later.
Did they storm the courts or anything? What's going on?
They did. They stormed the court, but my son was in the band, so he couldn't storm. He was playing the alma mater. He couldn't go on. If he had gone on the court, Oh, if he'd have gone on the court, he'd have been in big, big trouble. If you're in the band and you leave your band seat to go on the court, you're in big trouble. It's not like Stanford. The band ain't on the field. So so then the week later, so my wife's a Towson alum, right? So a week later, Ohio State's playing Towson. She swears the referees are making Ohio State calls because Towson was getting called against. And so we watch a Ravens game. We watch a Ravens game, and she swears the officials only call penalties against the Ravens. But boy, you talk about the ability to manipulate a game a little bit with this gambling. I hope the hell it doesn't happen. But isn't Pete Rose not in the Hall of Fame because of gambling,
it's, dude,
something like that? And then you got the governor. Did you see the governor? Did you see what he did at the sports book? He blew it, right? Did you see that?
He placed a bet on both teams, right?
But did you see? No, he placed a bet on – he announced this to the public on the news that he placed a bet on the Super Bowl next year being the Ravens versus
the
Redskins.
Oh,
that's what he said.
He said the R word.
He did. Oh, my God. The media went crazy. He said the R word. He actually said that.
I keep
and they
slipping.
Went nuts. I mean, my God, what are you going to do? It's been 100 years. You're supposed to change your mind after 100 years.
I had all the people from Cleveland on the last couple of weeks, right? Because we've played. Yeah. Oh, Lena Raskin is here from Raskin Globe, my pal, and investing money and giving us good wisdom at the end of the year. And we're talking some football as well. So the Cleveland guys, they have the Guardians now, and I've got to I'm trying to be good. I want Santa to be nice, and I'm trying to bend with the new things and be liberal where I'm liberal and conservative where I'm conservative. Believe me, when I sit and talk about the death penalty with Don Mohler, he thinks I'm like right of Donald Trump. So it's fine. You know what I mean? I'm kind of all over the place. Leonard, for you, an end of year. I mean, we're up on it. It's Christmas, right? It's holidays. It's Hanukkah. It's Kwanzaa. It's New Year's. It's Festivus. It's all people are getting together with loved ones, work ones, end of year reviews, Christmas parties, holiday parties, eggnog, that.
Yeah.
And Lord knows I'm distracted right now because we're moving off all the above, right? Holidays, emotions, you know, you miss your mom, you know, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Reflection, which kind of year all of us have had, either financially good, bad, or whatever. Give me a little Papa Bear advice. Give me a little Uncle Leonard advice here for people just, you know, going into the holiday. And because you send out such great stuff every day. I get your newsletter every day. And it's always sort of some good wisdom. But this time of year, people are getting together. And from a financial standpoint, that people are allergic to talking about it, right?
Yeah, we have a strange, stupid culture around money. People have this no talk rule. The no talk rule is we don't talk about how much we make. We don't talk about what we do. We don't talk about what we spend. And it's all hidden. And nobody wants anybody to know anything. Like, you know, you don't want your siblings to know that you're going on a trip or you bought a new thing for the house because they might think you're too rich. Or it's craziness. People are all tied up in knots from when they were 3 years old or 5 years old and what their parents taught or didn't teach them about money. And it carries on, and then you teach your kids. The fact of the matter is that our society stinks, literally stinks when it comes to money. You don't learn it in school. It's not taught. It should be taught as a course in every school. I'm talking high school, because not everybody goes to college. Certainly, if you go to college, you shouldn't be able to get out without a basic financial 101. How do you balance a checkbook? What kind of insurance should you have? How do you budget? How do you not spend what you don't have and pay 22% on a credit card for holiday cheer that you can't afford? If you can't afford to give somebody the present that you think they should get or they want, don't buy it. Don't succumb to this. I got a plastic card in my pocket and I can pay it off next year. If you pay it off next year, you paid 25% more than you paid for it in interest to a bank. That is craziness. Stop it. Budget yourself. If you're looking, the best thing to do is to start in January. And if you want something for next December, put it on layaway, the old fashioned layaway, and pay it off over the year with no interest and then get it in December. You know, don't succumb to this crazy commercialism that everybody's got to have something. You got to buy it and you can't afford it. Put a budget in place for what Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it is going to cost and stick to it. The worst thing
and that's hard to do with the inflation too now, right? I mean, things you want to do. Like, I mean, literally, my wife and I were thinking about doing a trip, you know, in the next year, and flights are cheap, right? Cool. But then all of a sudden, it's like, you know, things have gotten more expensive just in general all the way around. So
we've
it
been
is
talking about it.
If you thought it was $2,000 a couple of years ago, it might be $2,500 or $3,000 this year, right?
Absolutely. The airline tickets are going to go up. Hotel costs are going up. Food costs are going up.
Labor's
everything
up.
Travel.
Yep.
Everything travel is going up. You know, this is going to be the most expensive Christmas dinner in history. Just had the most expensive Thanksgiving dinner in history. One of the ways to cut the cost for Christmas, though, I'll tell you, I got a couple ways to do that. One is to make sure that when you're on the phone with your family and friends over the next week or so, just talk politics. They won't invite you to Christmas, or they won't come, and then your costs will be down. Or if you don't want to talk politics, talk Fauci. You know, Fauci says we have to check the vax card of the people in our family coming over for the holiday. So if you want to make your holiday budget less, just tell people if they're not vaxxed, they can't come. And there you go. All those non-vaxxed people stay home. And your price for Christmas dinner will go down, not because it's down, but because you have less mouths to feed. Obviously joking here, but yeah, the cost of things are up. When you have too much money chasing too few goods, we got supply chain issues. That's inflation. And what's going to happen? I mean, look, we just had producer price index. That's the wholesale. That's what business to business pays for stuff. Up over 9%. Over year over year, and the CPI consumer price index up 7% year over year. Those are the highest numbers in 40 years. So I don't care if you like the president or not, if you like the Congress or not. Right now, the economy is booming and people are buying and money is chasing, and the Fed wants to give out more money. And when they give out more money, the cost, all they're doing is devaluing that dollar. That's what inflation is. Your dollar is worth less because you can't buy as much with the same dollar. It is an insidious tax on assets, on income, and it mostly hits hard on the middle, lower class because they're the ones that get affected the most. If you have a lot of money, 10% inflation doesn't matter. You just spend it. You spend a little more. So what? If you don't have money, this is painful. You got to decide gas, health, food, medicine. The price of everything is going up, and it's going to hurt. You know, the Build Back Better, Biden, the Congress, they can say nobody under 400,000 is going to pay more in taxes. I got news for you. If the cost of your cigarettes, alcohol, groceries, gas are all going up by 5 to 10% year over year, you don't have to pay more in income taxes. You just lost lots and lots of money. And the guy or gal who has way more than you doesn't care. So the inflation is an insidious tax on the middle and lower class. It hits the upper class, but they just find ways to make more money. The market goes up, they have more money. So this is a time of year to really tighten the belt. Look at your budget, make sure you're in check. And hard assets, real estate, and stock market outpace inflation long term. So homeowners in the right area at the right time and people in the market long term make money.
Well, we've been through that all month. I mean, you and I've talked
about housing. People without money just get hurt more and more and more. And this is a bad, tough time.
Well,
so make it through the holiday, but look at the other side of it. Let's face it. It's the holidays. Like you said, time for family, time for reflection, great cheer. Going into the end of the year, get your financial house in order. Seek us out, raskinglobal.com. Come on in, get a free consult about, hey, what's going on in my world? Am I on track? Am I doing the things I should be doing? Free set of eyes for an hour to say, am I doing the right stuff? Do I need to dig in deeper? Is there something I should be looking at that I'm missing? Bad things happen. We've talked about it. People pass away. People get sick. People get disabled. People get into accidents. I was on a call with a gentleman just yesterday, 42-year-old brother, was diagnosed with some, you know, a really horrible, horrible disease. And he's got to go into a nursing home at 42. Oof. This guy could live 30 years. It's not an illness that will kill him in the short term. It's just that he can't take care of himself and neither can his family anymore. And at 42, he could be in a nursing home for 30 years. $10,000 a month, $120,000 a year for 30 years, $3.6 million. That's real. Okay. If you can't pay that, the state can pay it. But these are real costs that families absorb and the caregivers have to care for. And you got to make sure this stuff is protected. We're about making sure your wealth is protected and then that it's growing so you can enjoy it and have the kind of Christmas you want. Do the trip you want. Go the places you want. See the country. See the world. That's what it's all about. What's your American dream? How do we help you get there?
So Raskin's wisdom. I'm gonna rename the segment.
Win.
There you go.
There and the Ravens go. That win. And a Ravens win. Ravens win against Green Bay. I'm scared. I just don't want to look. The one thing is, just back to football. We fight like hell.
Oh,
no matter what.
Hey,
they're not
man.
Getting blown out of anything. It's a heart attack every week.
Here's the thing, Leonard, and this is interesting. It brings us right back to where we began the whole conversation on the media. I respect the hell out of John Harbaugh. He's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. If he wins again, he'll be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I can't ask him why he thinks a 9-point game psychologically is going to help his team better than an 8-point game. Or, you know, what his little book of tricks and the analytics. And Luke and I went back and forth because Luke's an analytics nerd, right? I mean, and it's cool. It's like, you know, money. Yeah. I respect your point of view on that, even as it pertains to your politics and how money would affect that or the way journalism and access would affect how I would feel about it. But respecting it and questioning it goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Literally. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Like, so you should be able to question anything. Look, here's what my philosophy about that is. If you can't answer the hard question, A, you don't know the answer, in which case you say, I'll get back to you, I don't know. Or B, you're hiding what you don't want people to find. Answer the question. Get on with it. They say that the best antidote, what is it? Antiseptic is the truth. You know, more truth is better. That's what journalism's based on. It's I'm going to ask, you're going to answer. If you don't answer, we're not talking about a court of law here. We're not talking about the Fifth Amendment. You either answer.
And we're
the
also talking about a coach making $10 million a year too. So, in a system that let's be honest, it's the toy department as much as they have to manage it and manage personalities. And we've seen how hard that's been for Mike Tomlin over the course of time. Leonard, listen, man, crab cake in the new year. We're going to be out at Nacho Mama's starting the year. We're going to be in a lot of places in January, February, March, doing a lot of things. Hopefully going to the Super Bowl in L.A. and hopefully masked or unmasked and hopefully variants in the holidays and all that. But no fruitcake, plenty of eggnog is what my wish for you and your family, Leonard Raskin.
There you go. I'm not a fruitcake fan. I'm not a big eggnog fan. The boy loves eggnog. Boy's all about all the different kinds of eggnog. Quick story. Last year, the boy, just for the hell of it, I don't know why he did this. He put chocolate Hershey syrup in the eggnog to see what chocolate eggnog would taste like.
And?
One sip, one spit. It was bad.
Oh, really? Really? I would see a dark chocolate.
A
something could work there. You
he
got me percolating
there.
People have been sending me eggnog recipes since I brought it up this week. I did get finally, thank you, Rob Santoni, who's joining me at Costas. I did get the Wise eggnog seasonal, and it was frothy and delicious. So I'm going to go get another. They come so big at Wise, you know, so like I don't have so much freezer space, but I am afraid of not being able to get it. So don't knock the nog, Leonard Raskin.
No,
and
I'm
pass
all
on
for
the fruit
it. If you
cake.
Like it, do it. Yeah,
pass on the fruit cake. I want to get some of those little peanut butter things with the dark chocolate kiss on it. That's what I want to do. Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. I'm wearing the shirt. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com for all sorts of financial wisdom advice and some football talk from time to time as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking holidays, football, and Baltimore Positive.